consistently attract soulmate clients, begin showing up on brand, monetizing on your calling. Welcome all spiritual coaches, leaders, healers, light workers, and practitioners to a show that turns you on in your business and amplifies your magnetism. I'm host, catalyst, and spiritual business coach Rosalyn Fung, and I'm here to journey with you into the juicy and help you discover where the real gaps are. Ignite your mindset and soul with strategies and systems as each episode takes you to the sweet spot that activates your soulgasmic business. Enjoy this light language activation as we begin to magnetize and monetize.
Hello.
Hello, loves. How are you doing? Welcome to another episode. If you're new to us, if you're new to me, my show, Rosalyn Fung, welcome. I have my amazing husband here.
Amazing.
We are pre-recording this, so as you're listening to this live or on the replay, June 24th, right?
24th, yeah.
And we are live streaming this on August 11th. One day before our
16th wedding anniversary.
Mm-hmm. So we've been together for 20 years. For fun, we are called Pleasure in the Bedroom and Bank because we bring our gifts together to co-create and contribute to the world. And my background is former psychologist in marriage and family therapy and a self-love coach. And now I'm an Akashic Visionary Life and Business Soul Coach for coaches, healers, light workers to help you literally get out of your own way, show up boldly, authentically, unapologetically, so that you can create the life and business of your dreams and exactly on your own terms.
And I am Dan Haig, certified financial planner at IG Wealth, and now actually Haig and Associates Private Wealth Management, which is the private wealth aspect of IG Wealth. So I assist people and organizations basically make the best use of their money.
Amazing. So together we call ourselves Pleasure in the Bedroom and Bank because we are very, very passionate about helping individuals and couples really look at their own money stories, money beliefs that are holding them back from creating more wealth, and also having the financial strategies with that and the psychology and energetics of money. And me being a former couples coach or therapist, it's really about how do we have sacred conversation. And Dan and I are here, you know, we're students of life first, and we're here to be examples of being the change we want to see in other couples. A lot of couples and friends look up to us as a power couple. And, you know, of course we're not perfect. So what the heck is that?
What?
So, and so we thought, you know, what would be really fun to do to celebrate our 16 years together, or wedding anniversary and 20 years together this is totally an unscripted show. We have 80 random questions we can choose from. We're going to shout out a number to each other and then we're going to find it. And we just literally Googled, I don't know what I Googled, to be honest. I'm like, fun random questions to ask your partner.
Yeah, too.
So literally we're going to do that. And in hopes of what's going to come through are messages and lessons that we've gone through that will also support you and see what messages resonate with you and how you make meaning for it. So, I mean, really, this is about us being in conversation, real and raw. You know, I'm not wearing my fake eyelashes today because I might cry.
I was going to comment on that, but like, no, I'll just leave it. Yeah.
I don't care. You know me. Even in our Manifest More Money workshop that Dan and I put on together, which is for sale on my website, rosalynfung.com. I think at the very end, when we were chatting, the eyelash was falling off. So I was like, all right, we're just going to take those off. You know, I'm comfortable with or without them. And, you know, I really feel like what's going to come through is going to be just so yummy. And not just for us, but like, really, I feel like what's important is the messages that are going to come through for you as well, to our beautiful listeners and our audience. So for those of you who are new to us, or maybe just to refresh your memory, often we get asked, how did you meet? So Dan always jokes.
I always joke that if you want the 2-minute version of the story, I can tell you that. If you want the 2-hour version of the story, Roz can tell you that.
So we'll do some sort of hybrid.
Yeah. So usually I start telling the story and then Roz corrects me because I said something that's apparently
He missed the details.
Well, a 2-minute version of the story usually doesn't have too many details. So, but that's how we roll. We're just, we're on the fly here. It's fun. It's how we work.
Yeah. So long story short, a girlfriend that I'm kind of like on and off friends with since kindergarten. We aren't friends anymore. With love, I say there's a little bit too much. How can we say, like, just not on the same wavelength? How about that? You know, and I know that, of course, soul contracts wise, we always like come into people's lives for certain reasons. And I know that she came back in my life so I can meet this man. And it was funny because I had just broken up. This is goodness. Like I said, 20 years ago, I was 21. And she came back into my life. We were reconnecting. And I think it had been at least a good year because I had just gotten out of a relationship about a year and a bit. And we were like catching up on each other's lives. And she was telling me she met this group of guys. And one of them looks like her ex-boyfriend. And I was like, oh, let me see. And I enjoyed her ex-boyfriend. So the first time I saw Dan was, because, you know, there wasn't text messaging pictures.
We're talking 20 years ago, okay?
So was a picture of Dan emailed to me on my big-ass computer monitor, the clunky-ass ones.
The ones that weigh like 50 pounds, right?
Right? Yeah. And so I was like, oh, yeah, he's like cute, you know? He totally looks like your ex. Not in the energy of like, let me check him out kind of energy. It was like, let me check him out because he looks like your ex. I want to see if that there's a similarity there myself. I kind of like those things. And anyway, we actually ended up meeting. I saw you, but we didn't get introduced to each other one night, shortly after I saw a picture of him. And then just sort of like consecutively happened. And one day this friend was like, let me just get you guys a meet. Cause I was like, oh, he's really cute. And I was like, and he has a nice body. So 21-year-old mentality. And so she's like, oh, let me set you up. I'm like, no, I just want to be single. I don't want to be committed to anything. And you know, I just want to do me. But we met and I was like, oh, he's really like, yeah, I like his personality. And then your birthday came up and basically liquid courage always helps. So if you can believe this, my loves, like I was shy.
What?
I was really shy around men. So men I'm like attracted to. So yeah, that's a bit of the story, I guess.
So I guess that's a 2-hour version condensed down into about 4 or 5 minutes. So that's pretty good. High five. High five on that. Now I can also condense down my 2-minute version down into about 2 seconds. I bought her off the internet.
Oh my god.
That's what I say, little China girl about com.
Oh my god. Are we allowed to say shit like that?
No, it's fine. It's all fine.
Me love you long time. Me love you long time. Okay. Sorry, don't hate me for saying that. You know, anyway, and those of you who are listening, they're like, oh my god, I'm Chinese. Not that that, like, okay, anyway, we're going to get it. Christopher's giving
us. He's messaging
our,
us,
our
yeah.
Producer's like laughing out loud.
Yeah.
Actually, yesterday we were just at a winery and we were hanging out with the owners and Roberto was like, you can't figure out what my ethnicity was. And no one ever guesses what I am. I always get Filipino. Are you Filipino? Even Filipinos think I'm Filipino. And so I'm like, nope, 2 more guesses. Cause I think it's so much fun. So I get like Hawaiian, Indonesian, Thai, Yesterday, I got Sri Lankan.
Yeah, he was guessing pretty much like a country in every continent there.
Stretching it. Yeah. I've gotten Jamaican.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, yeah, because there are Jamaicans that look Asian. So.
And this guy, Roberto, he's Italian, but he could have looked Arab. He could have looked East Indian.
Oh,
he
was hilarious.
Like a wide variety of different things.
He even knew it. He called himself, I'm the most racially confusing my appearance that anybody. So it's just like, oh, that's so cool. You can blend into any country you go into pretty much.
Yeah.
Anyway, we had such fun with that. So coming into, shall we just start the questions?
Yeah,
like Dan and I will ask each other questions, and we're hoping that, you know, in our rift here, in our sharing, that you can feel into the energy, feel inspired. And notice, like, anything that we're sharing, like, we're really going to be real and raw here and vulnerable. That's really what I'm about, right? So that's what we're about.
And I think in any relationship, that's how you should be.
Yeah.
For sure.
And we're here to be truth tellers. And, of course, everything is, this is our experience of it. So take what resonates with you. Leave what doesn't. Notice the, maybe if something comes up that feels like a judgment, or like a giving permission of. I feel like a lot of times when I'm even, whether it's like I just got off a call with two of my mastermind sisters and we were jamming together, and it was so nice because all of us, you know, like when you look at social media, you don't get the whole story. I really do show up as, you know, being a truth teller, opening my heart for true vulnerability.
She's had some extremely authentic posts on Facebook, and they've been
and lives, and I'm not afraid to cry in front of an audience in real life, whether I'm speaking on stage. I mean, gosh, I've done that, even emceeing for Blue Talks, Business Life Universe, and like stories touch me, people touch me, and I'm not going to hold back my tears. Sometimes if I'm sharing something that is so much deeply in my heart, I am just a crier, and I do not apologize for that. So I hope that if that's you too, don't apologize for crying. I get people who are like, I'm so sorry I'm crying, I'm so sorry. I'm like, no, this is amazing, amazing. I'm a crier too, welcome. You know, and not everybody is that. That's okay too, right? We all process differently, but what's really important is that we're being true and real for ourselves, and being, I'll say, an image maker, i.e. role model, as a mirror for others, to give themselves permission to show up as who they are as well.
And I think it's especially vital as men as well too, to be vulnerable and authentic, because there's still a bit of a stigma. I think it's going away, but there's still a bit of a stigma that men have to be tough and stern and, you know, and unemotional. And if you know, if that's who you are in your personality, fine. But I think a lot of men just feel so much more connected with other individuals, whether it's their partner or with other men, through friendships, what have you, right? When they are more vulnerable. So
yeah, and I'd like to give our business partners Certified Flourishing Life Coaching a shout out, because in our certification, personal professional development company, we have a men's group. And it's a breakfast group, and it's a place where men can come and be listening to inspiring speakers, but then also connect and be raw and real with each other. Because we really, I think it's still a struggle in today's world. Men don't have a place often where they can just let themselves be who they really want and share in such a vulnerable, courageous way, and be held and be seen, and have other men be like, yeah, you're not alone in that, bro. Like, I totally hear you, and, you know, receive true friendship in this vulnerability. It's so powerful.
And, you know, women kick our butts at being connected and authentic with each other. And men hesitate quite often, unless you already have a deep bond with someone. But it's harder for men to break the ice. So these men's groups, they help break the ice. And we have guest speakers from powerful men, Olympic athletes, and motivational speakers. So in real time, we had our first event just this past last weekend in June. And in if you're looking at this in August, it's looking like we're going to have our next event in September coming up. So it's in person in Calgary, but of course online anywhere you are. We can certainly share more details when they become available for our September event.
Yeah, you can follow them at Certified Flourishing Coach on Instagram and Facebook. I mean, DM me and I can connect you into the community so that you can make sure you're receiving their events and upcoming events. So, and of course the certifications and the personal development courses, they are for you if you are really wanting to embark on personal growth. And also for you if you're in the corporate world, if you're in your own business, if you're in the non-for-profit world, this is really like there's many different faucets and areas that we specialize in. So,
okay, let's get to the questions.
Yeah, okay, beautiful. So, as we're recording this, what's probably happening right now? So, it's August 11th. Are we traveling right now?
Yes, we are in Quebec, I believe. Right
this now. Is so weird. Like, we're pre-recording this, but as you're watching this and listening to this on August 11th, we'll probably be somewhere where we'll be taking an Eastern Canada trip. So we're heading out to Nova Scotia. Actually, I don't know all the details. I told him.
I know all the details up here.
He's like, do you want me to tell you? I'm like, nah, just surprise me. So I did just find out we're going to Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, Toronto, and Ontario, Quebec.
And PEI as well.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So we'll be somewhere in one of those provinces, August 11th.
Yeah, we'll be in Quebec, August 11th. Yeah.
Maybe we'll be commenting on this live. Yeah. So, okay, amazing.
So I think the random number we're going to be starting out with is the number 43. Because in real time, I just had my birthday not too long ago, and I am now 43. So let's find out what number 43 is.
Are we both answering the question?
Sure. Okay. Why not? Okay. So if you could have tickets to any play or musical, what would you see?
Oh my God, I don't even watch plays and musicals. Okay, well, I really love, so I don't think it's a play or a musical, but I love Cirque du Soleil.
Oh, yeah.
I love Cirque du Soleil. Is that
I would call that. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I would see. And I don't care which one of it is. I don't even remember all the ones we've seen.
Yeah, we've seen four or five of them.
The coolest places. What was the one where it was just like in almost like a sketchy area?
In Quebec City.
That's where it was.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. In this kind of industrial area, there was like overpasses going. It was because they started in Quebec, so they had free shows going on when we were there. And it was fantastic. It was, at this intersection of a highway.
What?
But it was amazing. And you just stand there, and there's, 500 people, whatever it was. It was a cool experience.
So I don't have great memory about locations and things like that and names for some reason. If it's not like related to people, usually I'm okay with remembering people's names. But do you remember the name of the show?
No,
like,
not
a chance. I can't remember songs, movie names, like anything. Like it's so funny. But yeah, just the fact that it was unconventional, unpredictable. To be in a place that's not a formal place where you would watch a play or like a Cirque du Soleil show. Like I thought, my God, I love how creative that was.
And secret, I actually looked for that type of event again as we're going to Quebec, and they don't have it, unfortunately. But I mean, it was memorable for me. I was like, oh, that would be so awesome.
Maybe as this is being filmed live, we'll be driving right by it.
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to answer the question. So two answers to this question. If you could have tickets to any play or musical, what would you see? I want to see Phantom of the Opera. For the only reason that the song, the Phantom of the Opera, the main title song, I love that song. I'm not a singer. You don't want to hear me sing. But whenever that song comes on and nobody else is around, I might just sing it a little bit. So I would love to be there and hear it live and just, you probably don't even know that about me, but.
No, I didn't. Yeah. See, this is cool. Well, did you know I actually went to go see Phantom of the Opera?
You've seen it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I saw it in Toronto with my only other family in Canada. And with my aunt, my uncle, I was about 14 years old. So unfortunately, I did not appreciate it, back then, like, I don't remember it, but it just wasn't meaningful to me because I was 14 and very sophisticated in this world. So Okay.
Sorry, and the second part to my answer is I would want to see, maybe this is a bit of a cheating in this answer, but when I was a kid, I saw Famous Players, which was, everything was black, and they had, people were wearing like neon highlight costumes, and they would do these cool dance, and it was the most memorable play I've seen as a kid, and it bonded me with my mom, because she took me to that, so I think it was more about that experience, that bonding experience, beautiful, rather than whatever the event was about. So, and you know, I've looked for those types of events with my own kids too, because that event with my mom had such a memorable impact on me.
That's beautiful, hon. I was just gonna say something about that. Like, so for those of you who, again, don't know, or maybe we're new to, is we have two boys, Everest, who goes by Evie, he's 10, and Logan is 8. And we named them after mountains. Mount Logan is the highest mountain in Canada. So we love hiking and just nature. So it just worked out really well. But yeah, I love that you shared that. It wasn't so much about the play, but the experience of it was a bonding between you and her.
And to put a little bit more backdrop here, my mom was quite a bit older when I was born. She was 40. So when I was a kid, it almost felt like I had grandparents rather than parents. So there wasn't a lot of common things that we could do. So this was one of them, right? So I think that's why it's more profound than, you know, the mom who's much younger and shares a lot of similar interests and that type of thing. So,
and yeah, if you recall, we have shared this in deeper detail, so we won't go further into it. You'll just need to like binge on my podcast, Sleep Visual, on Look for the Pleasure in the Bedroom Bank episodes. Dan's mom was a nun. His dad was a priest when they met. Dun, dun, dun. So you're going to just need to go and listen to that story. Okay, so you choose a number, and then I'll look for the question.
Okay, I'm going to choose number 23.
Number 23. Okay. If you could use only one word the rest of your life, what word would you choose? That's a very interesting question.
Sure.
Why?
Because it acknowledges, it shows that you acknowledge it. You can, and if you can only use the one word, there's different ways that you could say it. You can be like, sure, or you can be like, sure, you know? So you, if you say yes, I mean, maybe that doesn't have the same impact, but sure, I think, could be interpreted in different ways, right? To speak your position.
Sure. And sure could be like, I'm listening.
Yeah.
Right? Sure. Like, it's acknowledging you're listening. Or you could be like, sure? Like, questioning instead. Yeah. Oh, you could be.
Sure.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Oh, my goodness.
There we go. It's not often Roz calls me brilliant, so I'll take that one.
Okay. Maybe that would be my word then.
No, you got to think of your own.
No, brilliant.
Oh. Okay.
Because I could be sarcastic about it.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Or like, I'd be like, brilliant! If I can't say anything else. But like, again, it would be the way, I think what we're really getting out of this is, it's the tone.
Yeah, exactly. You can do that with many, many words.
Here comes a message coming through. Right? On so many levels. So what I want to say to this is, you know, we work as humans is we will always process the nonverbals first.
Big time.
Right? Facial expressions, tone of voice, body language, energy over what's actually being said. This is why even, you know, like couples can either connect or disconnect, because all the nuances of how we're filtering through our own perceptions of how we're communicating, receiving each other's communication can be either detrimental or connective. So really important to notice your tone and your energy and the intention behind your words.
So that's why tension is the worst form of communication.
Oh my God. Can we talk about drama?
Yeah, we could go into that for a while, but should we?
I don't know. Do you have a story there? If you have one.
No, well, we'll leave it. We'll leave it for another time. But
well, is it related to us?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. No, let's do it. Let's do
the
it.
The recent situation. Okay. So we have a friend. Well, I have a friend who came to visit.
Oh, yes, yes, of course. Okay. I heard this is no filter, dude.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
We just can keep it anonymous who it
there
is.
There we go. And anyways, he came to visit and we kind of hung out and we went out for some drinks and that before he left. And maybe do you want to elaborate on the situation
here?
So
what I notice is energetically, I was just picking up on this person's vibration, and we've never experienced this person like this before. Like, you know, prior to this, I've only had maybe 3 or 4 interactions with this person, but it's never been one-on-one. It's always been in a group setting. I don't even know if this person and I are like really that connected on social, like how much I see myself. What I noticed was how I felt like this person was very in their victim, and I've never seen, because prior to this, I felt like this person's really big, open heart, really community oriented. You know, that was my, and a great dad, you know, that was my perception of this person. And getting to know this person in my space was very interesting. I think being an empath, I could pick up on this like anxious anxiety or energy, and that's okay. Like, there's no judgment here, you know. But the real piece I really picked up on was the victim energy. And there is nothing that triggers me more than that. You know, victim energy is when you're blaming yourself or blaming other people about what your current circumstances are. You don't like them. And then that closed-minded, not open to looking at things differently, the I already know that attitude and the know-it-all, right? And so, trust me, my loves, it was very, very, this person, I would say, so this is what happened. So,
yeah, how does this relate to text messaging?
So, I'm just going to say, I'm not proud of this, but it was really hard to tolerate this person after 2 full days. Not even, I didn't even need, I couldn't be around this person for 2 days. But I just, like, just, it was hard. So I'm not proud of it, but I blew up at this person. I've never blown up at anybody outside of my family, probably. Like this kind of like, who is this Roz that's coming up? Like,
yeah, it was a different side of her that I hadn't seen.
Yeah, it was after this person had, in my perception, felt like they disrespected, because, okay, so I'm built up with annoyance, but also, I've asked this person, like, I've set some boundaries. We were going in circles in a conversation. It was not going anywhere. This person doesn't listen. They overtalk. Like, I just think that's straight up disrespectful. And I mean, there's a difference between, like, and it's all about the energy. So this person just kept doing that after I've set some boundaries for 3 times. So I literally yelled, and we were in the parkade at this point. So you can imagine. My like warrior karate teacher voice came out.
The lion.
I was like, you need to stop.
There's a lion in the background. It's all reversed. There we go.
So I was like, oh, that just came out of me. Anyway, whatever. I was so pissed. And this person still attempted to try to get their last word in. I was like, dude. So I could not even handle being this around this person. And so this person left the next day, and they were leaving anyways. And I sat with this, because here's the thing. I take radical personal and spiritual accountability. This is what I talk about lots. If you listen to all my podcasts, you will hear at least me saying that. I don't know if every episode, but you can see that I do value this so deeply. And I believe it's episode number 3 of my podcast where I talk about the one concept that will shift everything for you. And it is this, right? Victim versus accountability. that life is not happening for you, which is victim. Life is happening to you. Life is not happening to you. That's victim. Life is happening for you and through you. And so I'm looking at this as, how is this person a teacher for me right now? How is this person a mirror for me right now? Because if this was not really about the person, because everything is neutral until you put meaning to it. And this definitely wasn't triggering Dan the same way. So what I recognized in this, because I cannot sound victim, because guess what? Before I started doing personal development, you would never guess, looking back at me back then with, you know, success, psychologist, all this, and the way I was showing up. But underneath all of that, because I was insecure back then on some level, you could hear the victim. And it wasn't until I was in personal development group coaching course that all your beliefs show up and are in your face. You can't hide from them. And it was so apparent. And so that's why I saw my old self in this person. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's what it's about. So then text messaging, here comes, here we circle back around. Text messaging wise, I took, again, taking accountability, I'm calm, I'm grounded now, I'm neutral, I write a message, taking full on accountability.
This is after he's gone back.
Full on. And I have Dan read it. Ma'am, nothing I'm telling you is, like, I'm basically saying, hey, you know, I see you as a good person, you have good intentions, and I notice I got triggered, and here's why. And I did say, so I took full on accountability, saying, this is my shit, you know, you don't need to change, not about you, like, this is just, I want to share this with you. And so I thanked him as a teacher. I even said, I fully support your friendship with Dan because he's more Dan's friend. And, you know, I thank you for showing me where I need to have more love, have more compassion, even for myself and for others who I see that. And I did call him out, though, on I don't appreciate being, because I stood up, set my boundaries, interrupted over talks and blah, 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 not listened to and not respected that way. So you're going to have to stay tuned to see what happens after commercial. Da, da, da.
Om Times TV. Imagine becoming a super influencer. Reinvent yourself, invest in your brand, and then manifest your success with a robust, spheric approach. Om Times Media and Broadcasting offers a unique and multifaceted way to become the spiritual and conscious influencer you deserve to be by putting your message across our powerful platform with its proven record of integrity and excellence. Through our produced shows, Om Times offers the opportunity to become a social media TV personality, a radio show host, an Om Times magazine columnist, and a syndicated podcaster, all in one shot. By live streaming your show on Om Times TV and broadcasting it across the extensive Om Times radio and TV networks, you become more than a host. You become an ambassador and a force for positive change. Om Times. Open yourself to the possibilities.
Are you feeling maxed out working one-on-one with clients and you're deeply desiring to scale your business for more time freedom without sacrificing your income, but rather expanding it? Many of my clients who are lightworkers, healers, practitioners, and even coaches, they're often multi-modality, are coming to me because they are sick and tired of working with clients on a one-off session model where the clients are coming in on a as-need basis. Or if they're selling packages, they are selling them in the sense of buy five, get one free, or the greater the number of sessions, the greater the discount. The problem with this is it's still a dollar for hours business model. And so that leaves the practitioner feeling really exhausted and overwhelmed from having to put so much time, effort, and energy in finding new clients that they're not operating in their most elevated self with their current clients. And so If this is you, I would love to share with you that it's time to elevate your business and scale it to sell high ticket one-on-one programs or even group programs. This will allow you to have more deeper impacts because you're raising your clients' results, you're scaling your business, and you're having that time freedom you deeply are yearning for. If this is resonating with you, love, I'd love to invite you to come on a soul business alignment call with me so that you can stop feeling like you're on this roller coaster ride and start to feel safe and stable and even having fun in your business and your finances. Please go to electrifymybusiness.com to apply and we'll hop on a call. I can't wait to connect.
If I could be you, you could be me for just 1 hour. If we could find a way to get inside each other's minds.
Walk a mile in my shoes. Walk a mile in my shoes. Well, before you abuse, criticize, and accuse, walk a mile in my shoes.
Okay, welcome back, love. So we were just talking about the story about the power of, you know, how text messaging can be misconceived. And I'm just been telling you, misconceived. Wow. And so coming back to this, I took full on personal accountability. I made sure I kept this person's integrity intact because that's really important, right? No shame, no blame. And I had Dan read it so that we're making sure it's clean and clear before I send it. So what's really been interesting, and I was not attached. I just even said to this person, you don't need to respond. It's just, you know, for me to share. But later on, I went back to the message and after this person responded, and it was very interesting. I didn't read the whole thing because I could energetically feel it was unraveling more of his shit and just continue being victim, blaming me, saying I'm still a victim and I'm not like I'm condescending, blah, blah, blah. And so I didn't read the rest because I could just energetically feel it's not going to be in the highest good for anybody, you know. It might just trigger my low ego to be like, I'm gonna get you back. And I'm not like that. So my ego is, but we're not gonna let that drive the bus. So, you know, it's like, I was like, yeah, of course, you know, and hopefully as you're listening to this, here's Roz, who is a soulful leader. And here's her sharing the story of how she gets triggered. Cause yeah, it's nice to know. I know a lot of people are like, it's nice to know you're human. You're not all love and light all the time. You know, like, no, I have a shit I got to go through and I got to go process that. I'm not going to go vomit on anybody. And I certainly am going to blame anybody. You know, it's like, okay, there's a mirror here because I am being triggered for some reason. What is that? What's the gift in this? And it's number one, learning to love myself more. That version of myself that was a victim, to love her. You know, and thus not be so triggered by people who are in their victims. That the other lesson is you will only respond or react, okay, at the level of consciousness you're at. And this person's level of consciousness is at that level of victim. A victim will respond or react in victim mentality still because they don't understand taking personal and radical accountability. And they don't understand this perspective that we're all, and not everybody believes this, but we're all souls having human being experience. And so what is this whole contract there? You know, and oftentimes it is helpful to have that feedback, right? Just like the feedback from the people who did meet this person, who never met them before, also had that same experience of this person. So now, you know, there's like that, okay, like, I'm not way off track. It's just not me, but I happen to be triggered by this person. That's my stuff to own, and that's my stuff to work through. So those of you who are like really being triggered in a relationship right now, whether it's a, you know, an acquaintance, a colleague, a partner, a friend, look at what is your part in that. Why is this, how is this person being a mirror for you? Where is it that you need to lean further into it? For me, it's like loving my former version of myself more, so I can have more compassion for her and be more than shifting into that space of unconditional love, which is an ever going journey. So that's the story.
There we go.
So the text message, I don't know if it was so much a text message, Jill, as much as the conscious, you know, the level of consciousness this person's at. So
text messaging didn't help.
No. But I honestly don't feel like this person, just based on our experiences, would have been open to hearing it. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Okay. I felt like that had to come through, obviously, because I didn't know that was the story that Dan wanted to, that got triggered. Mm-hmm. His thought was triggered into that. So cool. Okay. Next question.
We'll go number 16 for our 16th anniversary.
All right. Who do you most like to poke fun at?
Who do I most like to poke fun at? Or you? Personally, or I, you know, honestly, I think it's you.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
I think so. I think
I was just gonna say you.
Yeah, we're comfortable enough with it, and they're fun pokes.
Yeah,
you know?
They're fun.
Yeah, I may have overstepped it 1 or 2,000 times in our marriage, but
that's a big range.
Yeah.
Timing is everything.
Yes.
Checking in and tuning in is
for
everything.
Sure. And yeah, knowing. Well, you know, going back to the Will Smith situation, right? You know, if you're listening to this in August, it would have been a long time ago. But you know, the timing of who was it, Chris Rock, of the joke was horrible timing, right? So you got to, as a comedian, that's got to be one of the hardest jobs ever, right? Because you're going to offend someone. It just happened to be Will Smith in this situation.
I mean, right. In general, you're always going to offend somebody because we all got shit, right? And again, back to the story of the mirrors, right? Like, everything is neutral until you put meaning to it.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it is really timing. But yeah, I mean, if we were poke fun at each other, it's just more around like, I don't know. What? How do we even poke fun at each other? Like, just my silly ways. So you just kind of notice. You're like,
When I say I bought her on littlechinagirl.com, that type of stuff, right? You know, like. G-rated stuff. It's not always G-rated.
That can be very offensive to some people.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sure somebody's like, oh my God, did I just hear that? All right.
If that's an actual website, I have
or no like, idea. I don't know. I like, you used to dance like this. So if you're listening on the podcast, you can't see what I'm doing, but if you're watching the show, Dan's got like these like hang loose kind of gestures, and he used to dance like, he's a white guy. So he's just like, like, here we go, like, just dancing. Yeah. Like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. It's probably not helpful when I want him to be actually dancing with me. He's like,
no. Yeah.
So that backfired. Okay, number 7, because August 7th is my birthday, which, as we're recording this,
4 days ago.
Would have been 4 days ago. And I'm sure we'll be, because after travels, I'll be having a big party somewhere in Edmonton, because we're hanging out in Edmonton for the summer before we head back to Kelowna, or just outside of Kelowna in September. Our life is an adventure. I love that. That's our new, that's like our normal.
Yeah.
Like, awesome. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Nomads.
I went to say we're nomads.
Would you rather hear the music of Joel?
And I don't mean that in a bad way. I don't want to insult nomads. We're not nomads.
It feels like it. Would you rather hear the music of Johann Sebastian Bach played by played by a barbershop quartet or a heavy metal band?
Would you rather hear the music of Bach played by a barbershop quartet or heavy metal? The first one, for sure. I cannot stand heavy metal. It's like noise to me, and energetically it just feels so low vibration.
Yeah Either one would be quite the experience.
Look at my cringy face. I'm like
I don't know. I'm all up for different experiences, so I think I'd be fine with either one. You know, honestly, I might have to lean towards a heavy metal band because
I hang out with you.
You know, I'm a big fan of Metallica, and one of my favorite albums that they put out was one where it was the orchestra. I think was it the London
Symphony Orchestra
or something like that. I thought it was fantastic because it's just so different than the norm. So whether it's you know, Bach heavy metal or Bach barbershop quartet, I think they'd both be fun experiences.
Yeah, I didn't know that about Metallica. That's interesting. Yeah. Well, that might be actually really pretty if they played it that way. Because
yeah.
when I think of a heavy metal, it's like that noisy.
Well, screaming and yelling and anger.
Just, but, yeah. I can't handle that.
But it's Bach.
And then it also reminds me of, if you guys have ever, if you ever YouTube or Google Dr. Emoto, he measures he put positive words in water, and then he also put negative words in different waters, like different kinds of words, and he played music as well to water as well, and then like measured the looked at the molecules under a microscope, and the ones that were under heavy metal music, the crystals were like evil looking. So
Yeah,
I just don't like heavy metal music at all.
Can I throw in there a dad joke that I used on my kids and it bombed big time?
Yeah, sorry guys, I'm apologizing.
We were watching some YouTube videos and Arnold Schwarzenegger from Terminator 2 was on there, and he said, "I'll be Bach," and then I said, "And you can be Beethoven," and the boys were just they looked at me blankly. They don't know who Beethoven is or Bach, you know? They don't know. So it was horrible. I thought it was good. Good timing, but
I'm laughing. I'm laughing more because the kids.
You got to take these wins in life.
The kids
right?
don't get.
They had no idea. Like, no idea.
What the? What? Okay. You pick a number now.
66.
Okay. Oh, they just.
Oh, you've got a list that restarts.
Oh, right. Do I? Okay. Do you have a list that doesn't restart?
Let's go to 66 on my list. Okay. Your worst punishment would be touching blank for 24 hours straight. Your worst punishment would be touching blank for 24
Something
hours straight.
Something hot, like burning, would be that?
Okay, let's say it doesn't hurt you. Let's say it's just disgusting or undesirable.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Other people. Shit.
I guess. I mean, that's what.
Like, other people's like, shit, like the fucking outhouse. Like,
yeah, you're hand
in
an outhouse.
In there or. Oh, okay. Why is this even a question?
I don't know. I've seen once I saw this contest where they had a car in a shopping mall, and you had to be in contact with the car, and the person to outlast all the others would win that car. I've actually seen that happen in person.
Oh my God, you guys, can you let us know what yours would be?
Yeah.
Like DM me bold sexy warrior on Instagram and be like, this is what mine would be. Like take this show, share it on your stories and say question number 66 and then your answer.
Yeah.
Like this would be hilarious.
What do you not want to touch for 24 hours straight?
Oh my God. Okay.
Okay, what number?
33.
We have. What is your favorite board or card game?
The humanity one.
Oh, Cards Against Humanity.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It is so funny.
Yeah.
It is so funny. Like the R-rated version is hilarious. Oh, and somehow I'm good at it.
She's fantastic. I don't get it. You've got like beginner luck or.
I think that's what it is.
Whatever game we play, she's
like poker.
Poker.
I don't really know, but I like.
Yeah.
One time we were hiking, and it was an overnight stay. Where were we hiking?
Canmore area, right?
Was it? And
yeah.
It was like a 2-day trek, something like that. Like we had to stay over somewhere, and we were we were connecting with new to us people there, other hikers, and we were all staying at this. Do you remember this or not?
No, I don't know.
Oh, okay, cabin. And tenting there, and I just remember we were all hanging out, and I was like, I don't know how to play poker, somebody teach me. And I swept all their butts. I was like, what? How is this even a thing? Okay, but I'm really not that good at all. Like,
yeah.
I'm just, that was beginner's luck.
Yeah. And Evie, our 10-year-old, said that he played Cards Against Humanity. And I was like, what? So I guess there's a kid's version.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay. So, well, that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
All right. You pick a number, babe.
2.
Okay. That's like your favorite number.
What was one of the silliest things you thought or misunderstood as a kid?
That I was not, okay, silliest? Well, I'm going to say it from a, you know, life coach perspective, but that I was not enough. That's not really funny. I'm sorry.
No.
I'm going to kill the vibe there, but it's true. I just did not think I was enough. I had to, you know, get these marks. I had to. And then when I look back, I'm like, that was silly, you know, but it's a real thing. Okay. So, but for real silliest?
It's like people who think like the earth is flat type of thing. I'm guessing, but as a kid.
What was one of the silliest things you thought or misunderstood as a kid? Well, I don't know if it's like my dad, I have this memory. I have memories of my dad, like he would often tuck me in. That was like one of my favorite parts of the day, just before nighttime, you know, tuck me in. And then like, I'd wake up in the morning and my like, 20 stuffies were all on the bed. And I was like, oh my gosh, they just came alive and like crawled on the bed with me. Cool. And I would just rave on about that. And my dad would play along, of course. And I just love that. You know, I just love that silliness and that playfulness and the imagination of how like, that's a really great childhood memory.
Yeah, being a kid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're gonna go for number 41. You get to relive one decade from history. Which do you choose? She was born in the 80s. I always say the 80s were the worst decade ever. Nothing good came out of the 80s.
Except for MJ. He's
Michael Jackson and I guess the Oilers. And I wear my sunglasses at night like Corey Hart.
So, but like history. So yeah. Any...
Yeah, one decade from history.
Wow. Okay, I think I would want to be like a fly on the wall though, would be like the very first decade ever that Earth was created.
Mm.
Just to see how this magic happened. And like, maybe like when, I don't know, like humans weren't here yet. So like, is it caveman years?
So the way I interpret this is there's two ways to do this. Are you purely an observer in some sort of like spaceship or something and you don't interact? Or are you actually living that decade? Because if I was living in the first decade mm-hmm. that humanity was around, I think that'd be horrible.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, I'd be an observer. Because I'm like,
yeah.
This would be, I always joke, if I was, I would never ever
like
get on
Survivor.
I would never, like, I would be yeah. like, how did somebody pay somebody for me to be on Survivor just to see me like die off in the first 5 minutes? Like, no,
yeah.
No, that does
yeah,
not
interest
me.
If I had to personally relive a decade, it'd just be the past 10 years, to be honest with you, right? Then, you know, Roz and I have learned a lot over the past decade and, you know, to bring that back 10 years, well, maybe even 20 years, you know, since becoming an adult for real, right? Not a teenager anymore. I think just being able to take your experiences and redo some aspects.
Right, like
right?
Like if you, knowing what you know now,
yeah.
you would apply it differently.
Correct.
So that's so interesting because I would not, because to me, my perspective is, I'm who I am today because of all my mistakes and my failures and the
sure.
way I thought, and I wouldn't be, you know, in my purpose without that pain. So that's really cool. Not saying there's
yeah.
of course not right and wrong. So then what is it? Do you have regrets?
I think there's some things I would have done differently or changed. Yeah.
Well, I know for sure, like as a financial planner, I think it's your why, right? With your sister and just helping people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. So career wise, no, nothing would have changed. But I mean, you know, personally, yeah. I mean, I think we all have certain aspects that we wish were different and we could have gone back and done differently.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in case you're like, what is Roz talking about? So Dan's sister passed away and she didn't believe in life insurance. Mm-hmm. And Dan didn't push that enough to be like, listen, this is really important, you know, and that like devastated financially.
There's very little left financially for her family. So it's nowadays a motivator for me to talk to people about the value that provides them, right?
Yeah.
Because the last thing you want to be worried about at a situation like that is money, mm-hmm. right? So.
But anyway, we have like 30 seconds. Like, we don't want to leave it on that note.
Yeah.
This was fun. I hope that you all had a little insight of Dan and I and the vibe. And I hope that these questions also helped you really like reflect for yourself. A little bit more insight into you, maybe answer some of these questions with you and your partner if you're in a relationship. We would love to know your answers, like for one of them, just like I said, the funny one about like, what would be a punishment for you? Tell me that. DM Bold Sexy Warrior, share it on Instagram. I would love to see that.
Number 48, very quickly.
Yeah,
we're done. You get to eat one food for the rest for 1 month for her bananas.
Peanut butter.
Oh, yeah. Duh.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us, my loves.